Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
We're going to talk this morning about home buying in this area. The Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors, our guest, the president of the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors is here, President Carrie Danko. Carrie, great to meet you. Thanks for getting up and coming in this morning.
Thank you, Ted. It's so great to be here.
Also, Kim McClellan is back here. She back with us this morning. She is the public policy director and has been here before. Kim, it's great to have you here this morning.
Nice to be here. Thanks for having us.
We'll start off, Kim, I'll start with you, about the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. What do you do? It's obviously realtors, but talk about the organization and what goes on here in the region.
Yes, absolutely. So we represent, we're a trade association representing about 1,600 to 1,700 realtors throughout a six-locality jurisdiction. We have the city of Fredericksburg and the surrounding counties of King George, Caroline, Spotsylvania, Stafford, and Orange. And my specific role is to work with government officials, stakeholders. I try to provide a lot of education on the market. About 5 years ago, we got really involved in tracking the statistics. The numbers are always really interesting, and this year has certainly proven incredibly interesting if you follow the statistics. So we represent a lot of agents, provide education, central lock services so you can get in houses and list them. So we service our folks and try to bring as much value as we can to agents so they can turn around and serve clients in the community.
You do provide a great service because, and I don't know if it's every month or if it's every quarter, but I know you'll send out numbers of what's going on in the region, and it is fascinating to look at things and to see changes.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I think that when we're looking at the market for the last year, there really is kind of one word that sums it up, and it's crazy. It has been an incredibly challenging market for folks, and we've got lots of statistics to talk about to demonstrate that, because what does that really mean, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When we're talking about a crazy market, we hear that, there's not a lot of supply, but I just want to give folks some perspective. So if you had asked Carrie last year, let's say last January of 2020, what was the biggest challenge in the market?
It would have been inventory.
It would have been supply.
So that was a challenge.
Even before the pandemic. So if we look back to January of 2020, we had a two-month supply of homes, which just means that at the current pace of demand, we would run through that inventory in about 2 months. 2 months is considered a pretty strong seller's market. A balanced market is about 5 to 6 months.
Yeah, and I would have to say that last year at that time, I would have said that it was a seller's market for sure, but I also probably wouldn't have said that the word is crazy. I would have said that the word is hot. Last year, it would have been a hot market, even though it was a seller's market.
Right. So fast forward to February of 2021, right? We were in a year in the pandemic, and we went from having a two-month supply of homes to a two-week supply of homes. So with the pace of buying right now, we will run through that inventory in 2 weeks, which is crazy. So what does that mean in terms of numbers? February 2020, we had 1,140 homes on the market. This year, February 2021, 360, less than half the amount of homes. I mean, it is just wild to see that that low amount of homes. And and to bring it down even a little further, let's say you're looking in Stafford County, right, because that's a popular place to look. Last year, you would have had 404 homes to choose from. This year, when I looked the other day, there were 80 homes actively for sale in Stafford County. 80 homes, that's it. So you think about the income distribution, the price distribution, there's hardly anything in certain categories. If you're looking at 300 and under, I don't even know how many homes you could find. There'd be a handful at most.
Yeah, not even.
Yeah.
So Carrie, what does that do? Because you're a realtor and you're out there selling. Wow, I mean, that puts you in, you want to have inventory. You want to have things to offer.
For sure. I mean, Ted, it's last year, I had quite a few listings last year. And so I would kill for that this year. Because certainly right now I'm working with a lot of buyers. And it is challenging for our buyers. And so we're seeing, a lot of things as a result of this crazy market. And you know, what I don't want to do is discourage buyers out there, because there are homes being bought, but we are seeing crazy things happening. We're seeing multiple offers in all price ranges. Last year, I would say that if you had a listing in the 250 to 350 range, you were likely to have more than one offer to present to your seller. Now we're seeing multiple offers in the 200,000s up to the 2 million price range. And it's not uncommon in that lower price range to have 20 plus offers on a listing. So the competition is certainly fierce. We're seeing buyers doing some things that maybe they wouldn't have done before to try to win the contract. We're seeing buyers doing home inspections with option to void only, and even waiving the home inspection altogether. We're seeing waiving appraisals or agreeing to come to the table with more money should the appraisal come in low. We're seeing sales prices well over the list price. We're seeing sight unseen offers.
Sight unseen?
Yeah, so one of the things that I've noticed, and really in the last couple of weeks, even more than before, are coming soon listings are becoming more and more prevalent in the market.
I see that in my own neighborhood a lot.
Right, so when a coming soon listing comes on the market, a buyer does have the option, without going into the home, to put an offer on that property. And I want to emphasize that. They cannot go in the home prior to it going into an active status. So we are seeing where a home will come into a coming soon status, and then it goes straight from that coming soon status to a pending sale. So crazy times.
I was going to say, that alone is why we're talking crazy here, because, wow, it's hard to imagine that. But I guess when you're talking about the numbers that Kim gave, that's exactly what, I guess, in some cases, what you're willing to do.
Right, exactly. People have to do things that they weren't willing to do before.
Carrie, I wanted to ask you, heard we were on a call not long ago, and I said, you know, what are you seeing in the market? And we had a settlement agent say they had a contract that came across their desk. For the first time she's ever seen this, the buyer offered to pay the seller's closing costs. And traditionally, right, yeah, almost people think this is how it is, but everything is negotiable in the real estate contract. It is a true market. You come together and figure out the terms. The buyer, to sweeten the pot, had offered to pay the seller's closing costs.
Wow. Right. Yeah, so that we're going to talk, I think a little later in the show, I'm going to talk about how can you make your offer more competitive. And certainly, we're not seeing that a lot right now, but maybe we're giving some people some ideas right now. So it is happening.
How did we get here? How did these numbers go? Was the pandemic responsible for all of a sudden having inventory and now very little inventory?
I think that's a great question, and that's why I wanted to say what we opened with is, if you had asked agents last year, they would have said supply was constrained. So this has been building for a long time. So I went and looked at the numbers. The last time that we had what we would consider a buyer's market, that 5 or more months where there is a lot of inventory for people to consider, that would have been in September of 2015. So we have spent the last 5 years coming out of the recessions of 2009,
yeah,
right, and 2010, with building towards where we're at now. And certainly the pandemic accelerated that trend, but we've had, you know, issues certainly keeping pace with new construction. We've just had increased demand. This is a great area to be. And I think that we've really seen that supply constraint start well before the pandemic. Then layer over a pandemic where you certainly initially had sellers very reticent to put their homes in the market. Who wanted people traipsing through their house in March and April and May before, yeah, we really knew how to, you know, and realtors, I will say, instantly transitioned to walking around with hand sanitizer, mm-hmm, and like as soon as masks were, and we've done protection for a long time, and our people have worn booties upon request of the seller for years. This was not new for us necessarily.
Yeah, I would say that when the pandemic first hit, we were certainly, you know, as realtors, worried about what was going to happen in the market. You know, is this going to be the worst year in real estate, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah,
it turned out not to be. And I think Kim's exactly right. We did just kind of pivot very quickly to make it safe, as safe as it possibly could be for both sellers and buyers in the market, with things like booties and hand sanitizers and gloves and, you know, COVID. You had to fill out a form before you walked into a home and so on and so forth. So I don't think the pandemic necessarily halted, or it certainly didn't halt the market, but I think people are seeing now that maybe now's the time to put their home on the market if they were reticent to do so last year. So,
and I wonder, Carrie, so initially, probably last summer, I thought, well, for sure, this is pandemic related. We'll see tons of new inventory because people are more comfortable. You know, we've got a great process going, but that really hasn't happened. As soon as things come on the market, they're snatched up, and we're still seeing lower new listings than we were in the past. But I wonder if some of it is, I would love to sell my house when I see those numbers that I can make, but where would I go? If you're doing an in-area move, you're now facing, you're a seller, yes, but you're also a buyer. And there's not a lot of inventory available. So I wonder if that is dampening seller interest because of the constrained supply. It's kind of a never-ending cycle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I totally agree. It's most of my sellers have had options, you know, like, they've been able to sell and then go live with family, or they've been, you know, able to sell and maybe, you know, rent back, or, you know, so there's, it's very difficult, I think, if you're selling and having to buy.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. We need to take a quick break and we will continue on. This is really interesting stuff. Carrie Danko and Kim McClellan here from the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
It is the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors in this morning. Kim McClellan and Carrie Danko here talking about just some really interesting stuff. And I think a lot of things that a lot of us are talking about and wondering what's going on and just getting a great perspective. So, Carrie, one of the things that I always think about and you do hear people talk about is what we're seeing right now, what we saw like between 04 and 08 when everything happened. Do you think this is a bubble?
Yeah, so it's interesting because that question comes up a lot, and I think it comes up to realtors as well as to the folks in the lending arena. And back in the 2004 to 2008 timeframe, I was actually a loan officer, so I was working in that industry at the time. And boy, was that a difficult time to be a loan officer. And you know, so fast forward to now, I'm a realtor, so I'm on the other side of it. But it feels vastly different than it did in 2004 to 2008. And in fact, I believe it is. I don't think that we are in a housing bubble. I don't think that we have the risk of what we saw back in the 2004 to 2008 timeframe. In fact, one of the local lenders just recently posted on Facebook about this very thing, and I definitely share his thoughts. He was basically saying that back in 2004 and 2008, the market was different in that we were doing subprime loans. People were getting their loans with no documentation, with stated income. There were ARMs, there were balloons, all of those things that we're not seeing today. I mean, today, the folks who are buying the houses are, you know, very well qualified. They're getting the regular conventional FHA, VA loans. And so there is strength in this market. So I think we're looking at something totally, totally different today than we were back then. I don't think there's a risk or as great of a risk. I guess we always say in real estate, we don't have a crystal ball.
Sure.
Certainly anything can happen, but it's very different.
Well, that's good to hear because Kim, you wonder that all the time. Are we seeing a repeat of things?
Sure.
And that should at least gives me a little bit of confidence.
We've gotten some questions too when you think about people that maybe are in forbearance, who have stopped paying their mortgage because they were impacted from the pandemic. Are we going to see a wave of foreclosures or short sales because of forbearance? Right. When you think about it, you might not have paid your loan for a year, and you've got $30,000.
Right.
Dollars due at the end of the forbearance period. Even folks who are in that situation, we feel like will probably not have to really get foreclosed on. They will have enough equity in their home to sell that house and get out from under that and not see a rash of foreclosures, which was very prevalent following the crash in 2008-2009. So we're pretty confident that that's not going to happen. Certainly, and I had a lender tell me, we don't want to see no foreclosures, which at first I was like, why not? Are foreclosures terrible?
Right.
But foreclosures indicate that there's enough risk being taken in the market. If you don't have some level of foreclosure, that indicates that the lending industry is not taking enough risk on people who will make it, people who will be able to buy, and you will be X-ing out folks who could have otherwise done it. So we need to see a little bit of foreclosure, obviously not the rates we saw back then, but we need to have enough risk in the market to be able to serve a wide variety of folks.
I think it just struck me, Kim, that I must be a glutton for punishment because I was in the loan officer in the lending industry in 2004 to 2008 and then got into the real estate industry when there were a ton of short sales and a foreclosure.
Right.
So anyway, so that's a lot about me.
You have seen a lot. You have seen a lot of this. How did you get involved? How did you decide to make the transition from being a loan officer to getting involved with real estate?
Yes, actually, in between being a loan officer and becoming a realtor, I worked in the nonprofit industry for a while. And I actually, here's the story. So I was getting married, and my husband now, he was retiring from the military, and we bought a house prior to us getting married, and we used a wonderful realtor who also works in my same firm. And during that process, she kind of looked at us and said, "Hey, why are you two not realtors?" And I thought, well, maybe we should look into it. He was retiring. I was certainly ready to make a move.
Interesting.
And so my husband, Bob, and I talked about it, and it turned out that he did not feel that real estate was where he should be, and I have to agree, but I did take the plunge, and so he retired, we got married, we took the summer kind of off to start our new careers, and I became a realtor, and he went into his new venture in life. So,
well, to be a realtor, and I guess especially in these days, and in some ways you've got to kind of be a coach to help, but then you're also being really an encourager in a lot of senses, I think of just saying don't panic here. It just takes one.
Yeah, I think that's the Kim and I, when we were talking, kind of preparing for this morning, I just wanted to be so careful not to scare buyers, because certainly, you know, while this is a challenging market, it's, you know, buyers are still buying homes, and I do think that you just being patient and aligning yourself with the right realtor for you is important. And I do feel like I coach. I do feel like I care about what's going on with my clients. And I ultimately want to be transferring keys at the end of the day.
How exciting must that be? And especially for, in all cases it would be, but I'm sure that there are a lot of cases, especially for when it's a first time buyer, of how exciting that is.
First time buyers are my favorite. In fact, when we were just talking about the difference between the 2004-2008 market to today, just the other day I was with one of my first-time home buyers, and he was you could tell he was a little bit nervous, and I said, "So what are you most afraid of?" And he said that very thing that we were just talking about, that, you know, he's afraid that his home will not retain the value in the next few years. And, you know, so we kind of talked about those things, about how this is a different market than before. And so hopefully I put his mind at ease, and he'll be a home buyer here soon. So
was
homeowner.
When we went from, you know, from hot to crazy last year, was there a point where all of a sudden you all in the office were saying things are happening here? Can you point to any time of?
It was honestly pretty quickly, I will say. Like, so March, it was really like a switch, right? Like one day I was working normally, the next day we were sent home to work remotely, and I was like, oh, what is going to happen?
Right.
We did our February statistics, and I said, I dread the March statistics, and even more, oh my gosh, the April statistics. And then they came out, and we were like, oh, what, this is, where are these people coming from? This is amazing. And it snowballed from there, really. And I think that there wasn't like a drop off and then an up. I mean, even March was a good month for us last year. So I think that people adapt really quickly. And it seemed like the demand really increased because we live in a great community. And I was talking to our state economist about this. She was just so impressed with Fredericksburg and Winchester, right? We're smaller sort of urban cities. But have that great affordability, especially if you're coming from Northern Virginia. Mm-hmm. And we're just a great community. And we really saw, I think that we had one of the hottest demands in all of the state, which I think speaks volumes about just our community and all the amenities we have and this great school systems. And so we really saw that pretty consistently from the beginning of the pandemic, that things really never cooled at all.
100%. I mean, I completely agree. And I don't think there was, I mean, I certainly cannot speak for all 1,700 realtors in our area, but I don't think there was one realtor who wasn't afraid for a moment. I mean, and so
I think everybody, right. No matter what you did, you just wondered, how do we go forward?
How are we going to overcome this? Right.
Yeah.
And there were some really cool stories, I thought, that came out early in the pandemic from some of our agents. Wasn't there a settlement agent who like took the documents on roller skates to the car and notarizing things through a screen door, through a glass door, so you really minimize contact. I mean, they found a way.
We are a creative bunch, for sure.
Yes, and the industry's already been very progressive on technology, right? Over 90% of buyers start their search online. Most of them buy with a realtor because they know they need that and will have great value in having an agent walk them through the very complicated process that it can be. But we've been doing virtual tours, amazing photography for a long time. So you can get a lot of information before you don't even need necessarily to step in that house. You can, some places do, walk in the door, take a left, see the kitchen, go up the stairs. And they've been doing that pre-pandemic, but it obviously became even more important.
And I think even list agents have done these virtual tours and so forth. But even when you were representing a buyer, when the pandemic first hit, I went in several times and made videos, for my buyers to send. And that was actually the showing. Certainly there were things that we could do to continue it, the search for our buyers.
Well, and the fact that we're having this show this morning and talking about just how crazy the market is, we have, and now it's just, I guess, you just hold on and hope that there gets to be more inventory down the road.
Yes, I think one of the other things that I'm seeing in the market that I wanted to talk about was and we talked about the sight unseen offers.
Yeah.
And the well over list price and the waiving of certain things. And, I'm starting to see that there is a bit of a higher rate of contracts falling through. So, which is bad news for a seller, but good news for the buyer who maybe lost out the first time. But it's possible that a home that you lost out on could go back on the market. And I think, when you do a sight unseen offer, it could be that when you walk into the home for the very first time that you don't love it as much as you thought you were going to.
And yeah.
So maybe a buyer might get out on some other contingencies that they have. Or if it doesn't appraise at the value, they certainly can void contract based on that. So, while that sounds awful for a seller, it's really, these days, it's not as detrimental for the seller as it used to be, because there's
somebody
people
else
waiting on the sidelines to purchase your house. So, again, I mentioned the word patience. For a buyer, it's just super important right now in this market.
Hold that thought, because we're going to continue on. We need to take a quick break, and we will return this morning. Great stuff this morning with Carrie Danko and Kim McClellan from the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:32.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Miss an episode of Town Talk? No problem. Just subscribe to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
It is the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors this morning. President Carrie Danko is here along with Kim McClellan. She is the Public Policy Director with the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. Boy, really, really practical and good stuff and a look at what's happening in the housing market, really from people right on the front lines this morning. So, Carrie, if I'm in a situation, let's say I'm in a situation and I need a bigger house. I need, you name it, a bigger yard or just more house. How do I go about competing in a market like this?
All right. Well, you know, Ted, first and foremost, I think it's very important to be working with a great realtor.
And how do I find a great...
I happen to know a few.
Okay.
No, really. The first important thing is to make sure that you've gone through the process of getting pre-approved for financing.
Okay.
Personally, I think it's best to align yourself with a local loan officer who the realtors in the area are familiar with, and they have a proven track record of getting the loan closed. What a loan officer does is they provide you with you and your realtor with a pre-approval letter that actually needs to be sent with any offer you make anyway, so you might as well get that done before you step foot into a house. Some loan officers even create a video describing the strength of your financing versus someone else's, or they might even call the list agent to say how strong that particular buyer is.
Oh, wow.
Little things like that do make a difference. So,
and I think when you're working with your loan officer, it's important to understand that what you qualify for may be significantly more than you're comfortable spending.
And I guess that's something you've got to talk about and have an idea, not just look at that number and say, wow, we qualify for X number.
Exactly. When my husband and I first moved to Fredericksburg, we qualified for up to $400,000, but that was not where our comfort level was. We wanted to eat something other than ramen every night for dinner. We wanted to go on vacation. We wanted to have children. We needed to fit that into our budget. So I think that's very important that people look at that and figure out what they're comfortable with before they head out. You might qualify for a $600,000 home, but do you really want to spend that much? So
and that's sometimes hard to do because all of a sudden you're thinking, wow, instead of getting this, we could get that.
Right.
But like you say, that might not be in your comfort level. Right. And all of a sudden you don't want to be 6 months into it and all of a sudden realize, you know, like you said, that there's going to be no vacation this year. And between now and Thanksgiving, all we're having is ramen.
And even a brand new house needs stuff. You need window coverings and furniture. You might want to put a patio in the back. You might want to fence it in for your dog. These things add up, and you want to leave yourself a cushion to be able to do that kind of stuff.
I do think just as important, I think that's extremely important, and a good loan officer is going to be able to tell you, you know, hey, you're qualified for this, but your payment would be this at these you know, certain price ranges. Mm-hmm. So I would say that sometimes people, though, think, okay, I want to cap out at $300,000, but they really don't know what a payment is at $300,000 versus $325,000. So you do want to also make sure that you know that what you're saying your limit is really at your the level of the max of your comfort level. So definitely a lot of pre-work with a loan officer is important before you go looking at homes.
And actually, Carrie, when we talked the other day, you had a good point. While you do need, I think, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars are big differences, right? $100,000 is a lot. But you don't want to lose a house. You say your hard number is 300. You don't want to lose a house that went for 302.
Right.
Like, that would be such a shame.
Yeah.
Right. So there's some nuance to the decision making.
Yeah. So, and I think, I mean, the key really is just to have your ducks in a row before you ever step foot into the house. There's just not time to do so after now. I mean, there was a time where it was okay to go, you know, get your pre-approval letter after you've seen the house and you've thought about it overnight. You don't have time to think about it overnight right now. If you think that you want the house, if you think this might be the one, you're going to have to put in the offer at the time that you've seen it. But then how do you set your offer apart from the other offers? You know, this is a tricky one. And, you know, as I discussed before, things are being done that likely wouldn't have been suggested or considered even last year. But I'm just going to lay it out here. And I say this all the time to my clients. You need to make the offer that should you lose it to another, you know that you've done all that you are comfortable with and you aren't wishing you had done more, which is exactly to Kim's point just now.
Right.
I mean, that might not be so easy. And as a realtor, you know, I can give you my opinion on what I think might secure the deal, but only you as a buyer know what you're truly comfortable with at the end of the day. So you might want to consider things like a higher than list price, sales price, a larger earnest money deposit, possibly even making it non-refundable, which I don't necessarily suggest, but a flexible closing date. You know, maybe you really don't care whether you close in 30 days or 45 days, but maybe the seller does. And so if you make that flexible, that could make you in a stronger position than someone else. Doing your home inspection with an option to void only or waiving the home inspection altogether. Waiving appraisal or agreeing to a certain amount that you're willing to bring to the table should the appraisal come in low. Another thing that people are doing is completing an escalation addendum. So an escalation addendum is if you're a buyer, you're basically saying, hey, seller, I'm offering you $300,000 for your listing. However, should an offer come in competing with mine that brings a net higher than that, then I'm willing to raise my price up to $310,000.
Okay.
Not, you know, not to exceed that. So it's just kind of a way that that a buyer can kind of not put all their cards on the table up front. There's a lot of listings right now that aren't accepting escalation addendums. They just want your highest and best offer. But the most important part is that once you've submitted the offer, just take a deep breath and know that you've done the best you can for this house. Your realtor is going to do all that he or she can do to put you in the best position possible if competing. And then lastly, Ted, you just got to be patient. It is a seller's market for sure. But again, there's buyers that are buying every day. You know, I've seen it time and time again. My client, there's nothing that's hitting the market that appeals to my client, or my client has put in offers and has lost it a few times. It's disappointing and it's frustrating. But again, like I said earlier, at the end of the day, we are always going to, at some point, sit at that table and transfer keys over. So it's a, you know, it is a seller's market, but I just don't want you buyers out there to be afraid to put that offer in and just be patient.
Well, in Carrie, what you said just before the last break about contracts falling through in that kind of thing, all may not be lost, or sometimes you just look at things and just think, well, that wasn't meant to be.
Well, you know, Ted, so I mentioned my first-time home buyer that I was with the other day and asked him, what are you most concerned about? He actually was in a situation where he was competing with 23 other offers.
23?
And he lost it. He did not get chosen. We were told that we were in the top three. I have no reason to believe that we weren't. And it was devastating and frustrating. But and that it turned out that the offer that the seller chose did fall through. And he ended up getting that house. So, I mean, it did happen for him. It can happen to others, too. So,
well, and I think what you said was so interesting, too, about just that sale may have fallen through, but eventually you're going to find something. So just if you can, just be as patient as you can in this and keep looking.
Right, and I'm always a glass half full kind of gal, and so I think at the very beginning of the year, I wrote an article for Kim, and you know, my wish is that we get more and more listings on the market, that we have a more balanced market here at some point this year. So
yeah, I think that's our message to sellers is, oh my gosh, this is the time to sell.
List your house.
You will sell that house. And it's not just houses in certain price ranges. We've been very competitive in the mid price ranges for a long time. But we're competitive, like Carrie said, in the $1 million range. And I'll just give a quick statistic. Fawn Lake, I just picked out a few neighborhoods to look at.
Okay.
In 2019, there were five resales over 800,000. In 2020, we saw 17 homes, more than triple previous year. So we are seeing this competition up and down the price spectrum, which has been not the case, I would say, since the downturn in the 2010 timeframe. The luxury market was sluggish to return to the same level that you saw back then. But my gosh, it's been crazy up and down.
Well, I mean, I'll even say, so I mentioned at the beginning that the multiple offers in the 200,000 range to the 2 million. I was lucky enough to have a $2 million listing last year, and beginning of this year, I actually had multiple offers on my $2 million listing. And so, I mean, that was crazy. The thought that I called a realtor to say, I'm so sorry, your client, didn't get the house on a $2 million was like, I didn't think that could ever happen
right in
our area. So it is just, it's definitely the luxury market's picking up, but so is our 300,000, 250.
Second home market too. We have a lot of agents who sell at Lake Anna, which, generally what happens is the primary residential markets come back first and it's slower to go out to the secondary markets like the river at Westmoreland and Lake Anna. But gosh, we've seen things fly off the market there too. A lot of people are looking at this as a great opportunity. They're maybe working from home. They can spend a lot of time at a second home. Maybe they're going to rent it when things, go back to a little bit like normal. But it's just been, we really haven't had a market segment that isn't incredibly competitive. It's been very interesting to see. And I think we got a question too. Where are these people coming from? And it really is a mix. Yes, they're coming from Northern Virginia. They always have, right? Mm-hmm. We're just the next step down 95.
Yeah.
But they're in area moves. They're out of state. It's a real mix of folks. And what we saw, the reason the real estate market has been resilient and hasn't been that impacted this year is because the pandemic-induced recession was very uneven. People in the retail, hospitality, leisure, they were really impacted. But people who worked at office jobs, your biggest change was you started working from home. Not that there certainly weren't some job losses there, but on the whole, that market had been very preserved, that the economics of those folks had been preserved. And in fact, a lot of them were saving a lot more than they were before. So you have a lot of people who did not see their financial position change. And that's really fueled the demand that we're seeing.
You also see in both Spotsylvania and Stafford, there's a lot of home building going on. And you wonder if that may help ease some of this crunch too.
That is certainly a hope of ours. Supply is a huge issue, obviously. And, you know, there's the only way to get more supply is to build more. And I'm sure this would be a great show with the builders, our friends at the builders,
right,
too. But they've experienced a lot of challenges in their market, too. Supply issues, labor issues.
Yeah. Cost.
Cost, absolutely. So while building is great, it's a wonderful option. It's a fairly, when you look at the market as a whole, it is a small piece of the entire overall resales. I think there were 8,000 resales in our area last year, and you know, a few thousand new builds, but it will help.
Are you seeing, because of the market and in being a seller's market, that the people that may have thought about doing this a few years from now are starting to take a look at this and think, hey, maybe we ought to get involved in it right now?
I think I would be,
yeah,
for sure. I mean, but like Kim said earlier, I do think, and you know, and I do want to just kind of, you know, bring all perspectives. I mean, it is, I do understand that it is a little bit scary for a seller, because where are they going to go? And so I do think that people that are, if you were thinking about moving out of the area, or if you already have a plan in place, I mean, it is, you certainly should not be delaying, you know, putting your home on the market. If you're just doing it because prices are, you know, so high right now, then that might not be the best move. But I'll certainly still, you know, list it, but you definitely do have to look at the market as a whole.
Yeah. So if I'm interested if I don't know a realtor and I'm interested, can I come to the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors looking, you know, to, how do I find a realtor?
That is a great question. So I will say, from the association perspective, we love all of our 1,700 members equally.
Right.
We are not a referral service necessarily, but we would certainly encourage folks to take a look at our directory of agents. And you know, and I'll kick this one to Carrie, but I would think, just as a, you know, and as a general rule, you want to find someone who knows the area you're looking for. So you may have a cousin who lives in Reston that you would love to employ. The cousin in Reston might not really know the market on Spotsylvania or down in Ladysmith.
Yeah.
So getting that local area expert is really important. So Carrie, I'll ask you that question.
I mean, certainly with 1,700 realtors in the area, there is, you know, there's a lot. There are a lot of us to choose from. And so, and I agree, I mean, we have so many amazing, wonderful realtors that are with FAR. And I really just think that you need to find someone who works the way that you
feel comfortable with.
Feel comfortable working, you know, and so... And even when I'm doing my listing agreements, or when I'm working with a buyer, I do say, hey, look, if at some point during this process we're not working well together, then, you know, certainly I can, once knowing you, I can certainly refer you to someone else. Or if I don't know the area that you're,
yeah,
really looking in. But, you know, certainly I just think that it's a, you know, finding the realtor that works well with you and your style. Yeah.
And I don't think any agent wants to work with someone who it's not working with. If at any point, you know, these folks are professionals, they understand that sometimes you're not going to click, and they want you to find,
yeah,
that good. And they want to click with you so they can help you the best that
they
can.
When you click,
too,
it's so, so nice. I mean, I do tell my clients that I am one of those realtors that I lose sleep at night, just like you're losing sleep at night. You know, and if you don't want that kind of touchy-feely, then I might not be for you. But I do put everything I can into this job, just like most all of the other realtors do.
Absolutely.
In the association.
I could just imagine you, Carrie, seeing something and calling the person and saying, "I saw the perfect house for you. You know, we've got to get together. You've got to see this."
Well, this is how well you need to get to know your clients. You need to get to know them to where, when that house comes on the market, and they can't go see it, but you know they need to look at it immediately. You go see it, and you know that they're going to be in love with it. You know, and
wow,
they feel comfortable knowing that that you know them well enough that, that you can make that call.
And I'll make
them.
Just a quick plug on the diversity of our membership. We do keep a running list of folks who speak other languages. Yep. So our realtors want to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
So we've got multilingual realtors. We've got folks who are former military. You know, sometimes they're more comfortable working with military families. So we've got, there's such wide variety and diversity in the membership that everybody should be able to find someone who they work well with.
Kim McClellan and Carrie Danko here from the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. Quick break. We'll be back to wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Kim McClellan and Carrie Danko here with the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. Well, Kim, we have talked about doing this show for a long time, and I am glad we did. Because, wow, you both have put such an interesting perspective on things. And Carrie, as someone who's out in the field and involved with this, and you've sort of been Coach Carrie this morning to try to, you know, put a perspective on this. And I guess one of the things, I know, you know, I think you really have laid it out there that we don't need to panic about things, but we need to be realistic about what we're living in right now and what the situation is.
Absolutely. So you just called me Coach Carrie, and, you know, I have to tell you that there's someone in my life that's kind of a coach, and it's my broker, Coach Ann, I guess. Ann Black with First Choice Better Homes and Land. And yesterday, in preparing for this, I did ask just folks from my office if they had anything that they wanted to share with me that I could share on the air today about stories that they're seeing or things that they'd like for me to mention. And Ann actually did send me an email, and I wanted to just share it with your listening audience, because I think it does give that hope, I think. So I'm just going to read her email out to the audience here. The only thing I could possibly share is that I've been in local real estate business for over 45 years and have seen many, many changes in the real estate industry locally and nationally. Been through many up and down markets, 17% mortgage rates, and now historically low 2 to 3%. Too many houses for sale, and now not enough. House prices in deep decline, and now prices skyrocketing. Low appraisals to no appraisals. Now so much documentation required with each transaction versus one legal page sales contract in the 70s, plus so many other changes. As I sit back and ponder our current real estate market, I know from experience it, too, will change. Just how much or when, I won't even make a guess. I gave up my crystal ball gazing a long time ago, but I do know the strong, determined, motivated agents will navigate this fast-moving, rapidly changing real estate market and will adjust to whatever developments occur, and that people will always need some place to live.
Couldn't say any better. I know Ann well. Ann and I used to go to church together. President Carrie Danko with the Fredericksburg Area Association of Realtors. Kim McClellan, the public policy director there. FARmembers.com. Thank you both. We'll do this again soon. Great, great insight on all of this. Thanks.
Thank you. So good to be here.
That's it. Thank you for listening. Have a safe day. We'll see you in the morning.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.